Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Sam Reese is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sam's a member of our Brain Trust. He's one of the top salesmanship experts on the planet. He's the CEO of Miller Hyman, which is an organization that helps companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. And he's here to talk to us about how we can do that. Sam Reese, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. You know, Sam, I used to carry a kit bag for more than one company years ago. I mean, I never have stopped being a salesman. In fact, I was talking to one of my customers earlier this week, and I hadn't thought about it really, but since I was 18 years old, I've never known January 1 what my W-2 was going to be at the end of that year.
Fantastic.
Because I've always had some kind of a leveraged compensation plan. My income was always dependent upon if it went up or down or whatever it did, it was dependent upon my performance. And so I've been selling a long time, still doing it. And one of the things, when I think back on years ago when I used to travel with managers and people who were my mentors, one of the things that I learned from them was how not to do some things.
Yeah.
I would watch them make mistakes. And I mean, a lot of being a mentee is watching your mentors make mistakes, isn't it?
Agreed. 100%. I think those are the best lessons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question about it. They didn't realize they were making a mistake, but I remember thinking, boy, I wouldn't have said it that way. when we go back and look at our behavior in the marketplace, and as we go out and call on people, we need to think about things that we're doing that are getting us into trouble, don't we?
I absolutely agree. I think a lot of times people don't spend time doing that, and they look for the quick, short, easy answer, and don't even think about the ramifications of doing it wrong. And there's just a lot of time and energy wasted on what I just call pretend strategies that really aren't going to work.
Right. So you guys have been working on some of the sales mistakes that people make. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I work a lot on those. I like you, Jim, I believe that's where people learn the most. And where I've one of the things that is a hot topic right now is the way you opened it up, is the mistakes people make when they try to call to the top of an organization.
Which is where you should start all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you have the opportunity, yeah, if that's a great, in most cases, it's a great place to start. Not always, but let's say most of the time it's a great place to start.
Well, you should always try, but you should always at least try to go as high as you can, because it's a lot easier to be introduced down than it is to be introduced up.
Completely agree with you. And I think what happens, though, is a lot of times what happens is managers, direct salespeople, they say, hey, Jim, sell to the top. And you go, okay, got it. Well, but nobody actually spends time telling them what not to do and what to do. And so what happens is it ends up becoming folklore and myth as salespeople sit around and talk about their sales calls for the day. They pretend like they talk to the top, when many times they don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, it starts by, I just think there's a lot of tactics out there that, you know, I see these self-help sales experts supposedly try to get people to do, and I tactics like, you've heard these ones, try to gain agreement as many times as you can by getting them to nod their head and asking these closed-end questions. And, you know, there's this some crazy philosophy that if they nod their head five times,
wow,
then they're finally going to say yes. And with the senior levels, it just doesn't work.
Well, but the main reason is all that whole scenario you just painted is you doing all the talking.
You have got it. That's right. If you're trying, and that's such a great point, I think, especially when you go to the top, is the top is used to being in control. They're running their businesses all day, and now you think you're going to fire 20 questions at them.
Yeah.
And I always just tell people that they seem rhetorical. I love the calls I get, Jim. I get them a lot from people. They'll be, hey, Sam, is it important to grow your top line and to improve your profits?
No, I hate that.
What I like to say is no.
No, I hate that.
No, it's not. Right? Because those are the things that just don't lead to any kind of productive discussion.
Well, and it's sophomoric. It's insulting. And when you're talking to people at that high a level, you need to say, you know what? I'm stupid. They're smart. I need to know what they have to say.
That's exactly right. And when you try and ask these closed-ended questions, or you know, other things I'll see people do, Jim, that are an adjunct to that, is they'll try to gain serious commitment on the very first call with the CEO. You know, they don't have enough information. They're trying to gain serious commitment.
Yeah.
When, you know, CEO, you're really just trying to open the door.
You're just trying to get build a relationship
with somebody in their organization. It's not the time to try and close the business.
You want this person, all you want that person to do is, especially if it's a business that you know, where you're pretty sure you're going to be doing, on a day-to-day basis, you're going to deal with someone else. All you're trying to do is be introduced, get them to feel that you've got something worthwhile, and get them to introduce you down.
And to do that, think about this. I like exactly how you frame that. To do that, think what the CEO is thinking. They don't know you. They don't know your company. And I just go through. You know, I like on your show, you make it really simple and clear. That's how I like to think about it is the first time you're meeting with a CEO or at the very top of an organization, the questions in their mind are almost always the same, and they're these. They want to know, what's the history of your company?
Mm-hmm.
What value you guys provide? How are you different? What do you know about us? And what does it cost to do business with you?
Mm-hmm.
They have to go through that history, value, difference, knowledge, and cost. They have to do that to feel comfortable enough, because if they don't know that, and then they refer you, the sales rep, down to another person and then find out the proposal they have they thought was $100,000 is $1 million, their credibility is at stake.
You've
got to get to that quickly.
But isn't the very first step where you let them talk about themselves? I mean, CEOs love to talk about their business, and if they can get somebody that they think is intelligent to ask them, you know, what's on your mind? What's the biggest challenge for your company? Or whatever you want to ask the question, find out what's on their mind. I mean, to me, my history, my experience has been, if I want to get more time in front of the CEO, I'm listening. I'm not talking.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's all about, I'm glad, all about understanding what's their strategy they're trying to execute on, and whether it's the challenge or saying, hey, you've got this plan, this strategy, what's hard about it, that's exactly where you have to begin the discussion. I think some mistakes people make, though, with CEOs is you still have to give them some information.
Right. So but the thing is, though, is I think if most CEOs will get that out of you, they'll ask you those questions. And that's when it's really valuable, that little interchange. Hold on to that thought. Sam Reese and I are going to come right back after these messages, 20 after. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for being with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you go there and use it to your advantage. Use us and abuse us. If you get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. No barrier to entry, no charge at all. And please subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our blog, The Art Knowledge Base. AskJim.biz is there. Articles, archives, Brain Trust members. Our poll question, don't forget to take our poll question right there on the homepage. A different one every week. We'll let you, when you click on your answer, you'll see how the poll is going so far. The percentages will pop right in there for you. So check that out. Did I mention my newsletter? Please subscribe to that. If you don't like it, you can unsubscribe just as easily. Having a great visit with our good friend Sam Reese. He is CEO of Miller Heiman. Sam, tell us a little bit about Miller Heiman.
Yeah, Miller Heiman, we have been around 30-plus years, I guess 33 years. We're a global company doing businesses over 30 countries. And what we do is we just help companies drive sales performance by helping their sales force and salespeople become more efficient and more effective by putting in place, you know, game plans, if you would, and best practices that are non-manipulative and customer-focused and really actually, you know, in line with the way customers actually buy.
Right. And especially with regard to selling at a higher level, a more sophisticated level, the sort of the C-suite, as we say, the CEO, CSO, the CIO, chief marketing officer, that level of sales too, right?
Yeah, we focus there because, I mean, that's how what we believe sales is all about, is we believe it's about connecting with people at that level, understanding their strategy, and trying to figure out how to help them execute on their strategy. We don't believe that selling is about manipulation or
right.
trying to get people to do things that they don't want to do.
Well, I'll tell you, manipulation is as rare a force, an effective force in the marketplace today. It's rarer than it's ever been. I mean, go from here forward, in the era I'm calling the age of the customer, Sam, manipulation is totally passé.
Yeah, it's embarrassing when people try and do that. And what they don't understand is that the defense mechanism everybody has is a real simple one. And the answer is just the answer no. So, yeah, well, I'm not interested. And so many times companies, when they try, and what I see a lot right now, especially at the C-suite, is trying to create these pretend offers or trying to jam things by giving time frames that really don't have anything to do with business conditions, where what the catalyst for people to make decisions at the C-suite is the catalyst is for them to execute on their strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the catalyst. You know, instead of saying this goes away at the end of September, you know, there may be some reasons it really does, but if there's no business reason for it, it's just as big a catalyst at a CEO level or bigger to say, hey, Mr. CEO, if we don't move quickly on this, you're not going to get the benefits of how this is going to impact your ability to execute on that plan that you outlined.
Right.
That's what their catalyst is.
Well, one of the things that I learned a long time ago, Xerox taught me this, and that's the idea of selling conceptually, selling based on ideas, not on a product or not on a price or a color or anything like that. You're going to get to that soon enough, but to get started, to get them interested in doing business with you, and you especially have to do this, the higher the level of contact that you make, is to talk about concepts, the idea of doing business with you, not the actual specific thing that you're selling. What do you think about that, Sam?
We completely agree. You know, you and I are cut from the same cloth since I started Xerox. And
yep.
Actually, my company, we own the trademark Conceptual Selling.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and the book. There's a book, Conceptual Selling.
I didn't know that.
As well. And it's all about this, what you described, and I think, you know, understanding concepts really gets down to what is the client trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid, and having discussions around that. And what I find is people, when they really start understanding conceptual selling, they start understanding that the key thing you want to really get to is knowing where the customer is in their decision process. They might just be trying to understand their problem. They might be evaluating options, or they might be ready to select an option. And you have to make your discussion and your strategy have to connect to where they are. If I'm just trying to understand whether or not I got a problem, let's say with my IT system,
mm-hmm.
you can't come in trying to tell me that this is why I should buy this one with one idea. You've got to go back and help me understand my problem further so it
right.
leads me to the logical decision.
Well, or at least make the other person believe that you understand what their problem is, that you've actually asked enough questions that you now are on the same level with them with regard to what they're concerned about.
Until you get there, to your point, there's no way you can make a recommendation.
Well, you have there, there's no.
Oh, I got it. This is your problem, right, Sam? And here's what your issues are. And let me tell you some ideas we have. Until you get there, there's no way to make a recommendation.
Well, and see, the higher the level person that you're talking to, If you can get there with them, now you're almost their peer.
That's exactly what that's what they want. They're, you know, you always talk about that on your show. They're looking for these trusted advisors.
Yep.
They can count on. You got to demonstrate that. What happens when they sell to the top? A lot of times, people try to become the trusted advisor before they've earned that
right.
credibility.
Yeah.
It takes time.
You got, and it's different for everybody that you talk to. Some guys,
yeah,
some guys you can get
you
there the first
is,
day, and sometimes guys it might take a year.
That's right. And the last thing you want to do is make it sound like their trusted executives don't know what they're doing.
Right.
You're getting straight to them to say, hey, your team doesn't know what's going on. I can be your trusted advisor.
Right.
You got to work through everybody because the team that's around them, 9 times out of 10, they absolutely rely on and value their opinion.
Folks,
so you got to balance that with your ideas so it doesn't make anybody on their team look like they don't have
to. If you want to be successful, folks, learn how to sell conceptually, and you can do that, and I didn't even realize this, with the Miller Hyman folks. Give us a website quickly, Sam.
www.millerhyman.com. publicsessions.com, and we have, for small businesses, you know, I've got public sessions taking place all over the country. And
check it out, folks, at MillerHyman.com. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.